Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Now, election day is around the corner, and so we are looking at some of the major issues facing the country and what's at stake in this election. Today, we want to talk about healthcare, which has been a huge topic of discussion, especially since we've been living through the coronavirus pandemic. At the same time, we've had a lot of questions about the fate of the Affordable Care Act. President Trump has vowed to eliminate this ACA if he's reelected. It's a mission he's been on since he first took office 4 years ago. And with the Supreme Court set to take up a third legal challenge to the constitutionality of the ACA just a week after the election, healthcare policy expert Stuart Altman says the ACA is the most important thing at stake when it comes to healthcare in this election. Stuart is a professor of national health policy at the Heller School for Social Policy and Management at Brandeis University, and he served on President Bill Clinton's National Bipartisan Commission on the Future of Medicare from 1997 to 1999. We spoke with him earlier today about the future, about the impact of the Affordable Care Act since it was enacted in 2010, and what will happen next.
One of the important components of the Affordable Care Act was what we call the mandate, which required that everyone have health insurance. And if an individual didn't have health insurance and refused to get it, they had to pay a penalty. Also, employers who did not provide what are called essential benefits for their workers, they too could face a penalty. This mandate, the penalty was eliminated, so that if an individual didn't have health insurance, they would face no penalty. Same with employers.
So it was defanged, basically.
Yes. Although the mandate technically is still on the books. The second issue that developed is that the Trump administration allowed a number of policies which essentially violated the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act required that all policies had to have what we call essential benefits, which means it had to cover people with pre-existing conditions. It had to provide preventive services and a number of other behavioral health services. Under the Trump administration, they allowed a number of plans to come into being which did not do these things. The Trump administration is now making a number of statements, which are technically true, that the price of health insurance has come down. And, of course, the reason is that these policies do not cover a whole slew of benefits.
So briefly, before we go into the policy proposals of the two candidates, I just want to take a clear-eyed look at both the impact and the flaws of the ACA as it was passed in 2010. I want to start with the impact. Can you briefly kind of scope that for us in terms of either numbers of people affected or dollar impact on health care or a public health indicator of the impact of the law after it was passed?
The main impact that most people talk about, and it's correct, is that the law, both by expanding Medicaid, by requiring all states to cover people up to 138% of poverty and providing subsidies for people who are what I would call lower middle class. Collectively, these two provisions of the Affordable Care Act resulted in about 20 million Americans having health insurance, which they didn't have before. The uninsured rate fell from almost 20% down to a little over 10%.
What were some of the significant flaws in the bill as it was passed in 2010?
The main flaw was anticipated, but it's turned into be a political problem. And that is, for some individuals and some firms, because they have to cover essential benefits, which they didn't cover before, and because they were put into categories which included people with significant medical risks, if not medical needs, the cost of insurance for a small but volatile subset of the population really shot up. And these were the individuals, many young people who had to buy individual policies, and small employers. Some small employers found their health insurance premiums were much more expensive than they were before. And that generated a lot of political opposition to the Affordable Care Act.
Okay, Professor Stuart Altman, Let's use the remainder of our time to look at what's on the table with the two presidential candidates. We'll start with the challenger, Joe Biden. I want to play some sound for you. Here's what he said in the final presidential debate last week.
What I'm going to do is pass Obamacare with a public option, become Biden care. The public option is an option that says that if you, in fact, do not have the wherewithal to be, if you qualify for Medicaid and you do not have the wherewithal in your state to get Medicaid, you automatically are enrolled, providing competition for insurance companies. That's what's going to happen.
So Biden was engaged in a pitched battle in his own party during the primaries between Medicare for All and a focus on strengthening or updating the Affordable Care Act. Obviously, he went towards the latter. What would be substantially different in what Biden is proposing? And in your assessment, how realistic is that?
The way the system is now working, there are two groups who are pretty low income, really don't have the wherewithal to buy private insurance, who are falling through the cracks. One are individuals in states that did not expand the Medicaid. In addition, those who are also in those kinds of states that didn't expand, who are above the poverty line, but are really too poor to buy even subsidized insurance, they too would be able to buy into the so-called public plan.
And this is the public option that we hear Biden talk about.
Exactly.
And in your mind, how realistic is it that that public option could be enacted?
Oh, I think very realistic. The way former Vice President Biden has articulated, it's a limited but very important piece of legislation. Limited in the sense that he's very clear that it only allows a certain number of people to sign up for the public option.
Okay, so now let's look at President Trump. He's been very clear that he's trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act. He suggested that he'll present an alternative plan. Here he is at last week's debate.
Pre-existing conditions will always stay. What I would like to do is a much better health care, much better, will always protect people with pre-existing. So I'd like to terminate Obamacare, come up with a brand new, beautiful health care. The Democrats will do it because there'll be tremendous pressure on them, and we might even have the House by that time. And I think we are going to win the House, okay? You'll see, but I think we're going to win the House.
So a two-part question here. First, has the administration put out a written plan for replacing the Affordable Care Act? And second, is it possible to a la carte ensure the coverage of pre-existing conditions?
So the answer is clearly no. There is no comprehensive plan put forth by either the administration or the Republican Congress. There have been pieces of legislation or executive orders. As I indicated, one of them eliminated the mandate. Now, some people view that as a positive because people aren't forced to buy insurance. Many people view it as a negative because what it did was it pulled out of our insurance system individuals who are relatively healthy, and you need those people to balance out the sicker people to keep premiums in line. So the second thing is that it allowed these short-term policies or policies that didn't cover essential benefits. Now, it also doesn't cover people with pre-existing conditions. So his statement that he's going to be able to cover pre-existing conditions, not have a mandate, not have individual insurance companies have to provide services is going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to do because insurance companies don't want to take on, many of them, not all, don't want to take on high-risky populations, which would then require them to charge higher and higher premiums to everyone who buys their policies. It would be in the advantage of these insurance companies to sort of keep these people out. So I don't know how he's going to cover all people with pre-existing conditions without having a comprehensive policy that is also covers individuals in larger plans.
Our last topic is on the Supreme Court. The Affordable Care Act goes up before the court again on November 10th. You've talked about the challenges it's already experienced there. So how likely is a repeal to happen this time around with the Supreme Court? And with a new justice, Amy Coney Barrett, having just joined the court, have the odds changed?
It's possible it could be overturned. If you remember, Judge Roberts, in supporting the Affordable Care Act as constitutional, indicated that because we had a mandate, the premiums that had to be paid were like a tax. And since the Constitution made clear that the federal government can levy a tax, therefore the whole law was constitutional. The argument against that is that since the mandate really doesn't exist, although I wanted to make clear the mandate does exist, it's just, as you pointed out, it's been defanged. It doesn't have a penalty associated. So the argument is, since there is no mandate, therefore the law must be unconstitutional. Now, what I've been told, and which I understand a little bit, is that the Affordable Care Act was a 1,200-page law. And it included a lot more than just the tax part. For example, the expansion of Medicaid could go on as an independent law, independent of the mandate. The mandate only affects a portion of the law. So it's quite possible that that section could be ruled unconstitutional, but major components of the Affordable Care Act could continue. So that's what I think is a real possibility. But, of course, I don't know, and there's no question that another conservative judge who has indicated in the past that she thought the Roberts decision was a very bad decision does put the Affordable Care Act in jeopardy, or at least that portion of it.
Last question, just briefly, the most urgent policy step for either candidate to take when it comes to health care once in office?
Well, I think that there's no question that for Vice President Biden, should the law be judged to be unconstitutional, he would have to, and I'm sure he would want to, develop a whole series of new legislative proposals to shore up those parts of the law, if only portion of it is unconstitutional. On the part of President Trump, he's made it very clear he wants the Affordable Care Act deemed unconstitutional. I have no idea what he's going to put forward, but I can be reasonably assured it will be a very, very skinny down plan where people would have maximum choice. There would be no essential benefits. It would not expand the Medicaid program. So I think you're seeing very different views with respect to the future of our healthcare system.
That's Stuart Altman, a professor of national health policy at the Heller School for Social Policy and Management at Brandeis University. He served on President Bill Clinton's National Bipartisan Commission on the Future of Medicare from 1997 to 1999.